This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Boomer with a day off. He'll be back tomorrow. That means that Jerry Recco is in for him. Jerry, good morning. What's happening, man?
What is up, G? I'm good. Thursday morning, I'm ready to rock.
Did you see how pissed Brian Cashman was yesterday in his comments about analytics? I mean, he never gets defensive like this, very rarely in his long tenure as Yankees general manager. And I felt like, even though he never really sounds like it because he's such like a monotone guy who drones on, but still, like he was pissed about the perception of his organization.
Yeah, and that's what we were talking on the warm-up show with Al. It's, you know, I was curious because I didn't get a chance to watch it live. I saw the clips. I heard a lot of what he said, and I guess I'm just curious the line of questions. Like, where did it come from? Was it something that had been eating at him for weeks and weeks and months where he's hearing all the noise and the chatter from the outside and where he figured, you know, at some point I need to step in and defend my manager? Or was it something that was, you know, reporter question driven? And I don't know the answer to that, but I'm with you. Like, he went on. It wasn't like an 8-second soundbite or clip. Like, he gave you a minute. And yeah, just talking about why they do what they do, how they do it. And he wanted to make very clear that he's not making the calls from above. So, yeah, it was interesting for sure.
There's no doubt that he heard us at least once or twice play the Master of Puppets thing. Obey your master,
Brian Cashman sucks.
Because he definitely referenced, he said, you know, there's a narrative out there about the manager being a puppet. None of that is true. I've never ordered a manager to do anything. We bring this up all the time. I mean, I don't let Boomer ever even say, what is Aaron Boone thinking, without me saying, is he really thinking, or is this just a product of what he's been told by the front office? Now, I don't think that every Yankee fan or baseball fan around here has a problem with every analytical driven decision. I think the issue was in this Rays series that they played into their hands. CC Sabathia said as much on his podcast.
Yep.
That they had the Rays in their head. They went into how the Rays win games, tried to get too cute when they were smashing the hell out of the baseball, and then that whole Devi Garcia, Jay Happ mess happened. So, I mean, that's what it is. And when Brian Cashman says, you know, we're not allowed to do analytics, but if everybody else does it, it's fine. Well, there is something to be said about how when you're the New York Yankees, you don't have to operate like Tampa. Like, Tampa does it because they don't have any money, and they have to find a way to do it. It's like your friend that finds the great deal on Craigslist, as opposed to your friend who goes out and spends $15,000 on an end table. Like, there's just a different world that you live. You don't have to live in that world if you're the Yankees, but you know, sometimes it goes too far. It went too far in the ALDS.
I think analytics are here to stay. They're not going anywhere. It's just a different way of looking at the numbers and the stats and the way guys either hit the baseball, throw the baseball, and things of that nature. But I am with you in a sense that when you're the Yankees, they adjust to you. You don't adjust to them. And that doesn't mean that you're still not using analytics. I think they are. I mean, you see the defensive alignments. That's all analytic driven. And so you can use it. They should use it. But I do think when you are good at what you do, and the Yankees are very good at what they do, you play your game. And you know what? If it's not good enough, so be it. But I completely agree with you. I would not all of a sudden play the Rays game. I would have, and I said it at the time when they did what they did with Garcia, pitch your guy. Do what you do. And they didn't. And so perhaps they caught a lot of the flack or outside noise from that. And he said, now's the time to say something. Keep in mind, too, though, G, you had Aaron Boone in here. And if you remember, you know, you danced around that in a way he wasn't very appreciative of, if you remember.
I don't know if I danced around it. What I told him was we always say that Brian Cashman's in his ear during the press conferences.
That's what it was, right.
Yeah, and Cashman says the answer into his headset or earbud before he's allowed to say it. And then he was annoyed at first, and then he, like, pretended like something was happening. Like, oh, hold on, Brian's checking in. So then he lightened up a little bit about it. But, I mean, I would hate that, too, if someone thought that, let's say, I don't know, Mark Chernoff told me what to say every
sure.
single morning. I would hate that, especially if it wasn't true. I would hate it. But I think that we're not saying that Brian Cashman controls everything. Like, he tells Aaron Boone, you have to do this, this, and this. But there's a different way of controlling everything that isn't so direct, which is you put the stats and all the numbers in front of a guy, you have a conversation with the other people in the analytics department, and then you all come up with a decision and say, okay, this is what we're going to do. And then the manager, in effect, in the same way, still doesn't have any power. So if there are a couple instances where Aaron Boone says, all right, I see what's going on here, but my opinion is this because I'm in the dugout with these guys and I want to do it this way, and Brian Cashman says, sure, all right, Aaron, we're going to do it that way, then tell us about that. Give us an example of that, because I don't think that stuff happens.
See, I do, though. I think everything you just described is exactly what it is. Here are the numbers. This is what everything tells us. This is probably what we should do. Up to you now. And it puts the onus even more so on the manager, because if he's going to go against it, now he's on an island by himself. I do think, like, I've never been one to believe, and I could be way wrong on this, but I've never been one to believe that the manager shows up to the ballpark and the lineup is in front of him. I don't. I think all the information's in front of him, and he's still the guy that's going to fill it out. Now, it depends on how confident you are in yourself and what you believe and what you are seeing on a day-to-day basis from somebody. Meaning, you might have a guy who is slumping and the numbers don't look good, but God, his last four outs were three line drives and a ball to the warning track, where you're going to say, I get that he's 0 for his last seven, and I know that what the numbers are telling me he shouldn't play, but damn it, I can feel it. He's close. I'm putting him in the lineup. I don't think that that lineup is sitting there on their desk when they get there. I think they do have the ability to make the change, but you've got to be confident in what you're going to be doing, and I don't know that they right. do that all the time.
Well, you said one thing there that was important. So if you go against the numbers and you tell the general manager in the analytics department, I'm going to go in a different way, and they let you do it, you said you're out there on an island.
Better be right.
If it doesn't work out, then that's a big problem.
Well, you got to be able to defend yourself and explain why.
But that's another reason why people get swayed in another way.
Sure.
And especially, so Aaron Boone was brought in because he was supposed to get along with the players better than Joe Girardi. He was not going to be so robotic. He was going to get along with the general manager. So if that is the reason why he's brought in, you're telling me that he's fighting back with Brian Cashman from day one? Hell no.
But it's not fighting back as much as it's just, you know what, you don't take every suggestion that you're given. I think,
yeah.
you know, and here's the other one, too, that a lot of people believe happens that I don't think happens. I don't think the phone rings from above during a game.
No, that I don't think happens. Yeah,
but that is a narrative out there that people think goes on during games. That stuff doesn't happen. He's not going to the clubhouse and Brian Cashman or Hal Steinbrenner is on the line for him. I think he manages the game as he sees fit. He's going to make mistakes. And let's be honest, too, this has been a really good team since he's been here.
Yeah.
They just have come up a game or two or three short every year.
Yeah, but I think it's even more alarming, though, that they've been beaten by better teams every single time. See, that's the thing that's alarming to me. Like, if one of them sprinkled in there of, like, underachievement,
sure,
it's easier to fix, I think, if there's underachievement. But the fact that I think they've actually ended up where they've supposed to be. Let's throw out 2017 for a second, because that team was really a lot different at that point with a different manager. But in 18, 19, 20, they have ended up exactly where they were supposed to be. The three teams that beat them in those years, cheating or not, if you want to say that the Astros were still cheating and the Red Sox had some stuff going on, we know in 18. But those teams were better than the Yankees were. And that is the thing that Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone and whoever the hell else needs to figure out. Why is it that these teams are so much better than we are when our roster is the way that it is? I mean, you could look up and down. Now, I know the pitching was a major issue for the Yankees in this series, and that's probably the reason why they were behind in the series. It was not the reason why they lost Game 5, but they put themselves in that position because of the starting pitching and the fact that there was no depth there, and you had to do what you did in Game 2, and it was just silly, and Masahiro Tanaka was not himself, and all of those things. But what about, you know, how many times do you have to see, whether it's Game 7, 2017, whether it's the ALDS against the Astros in 2018, whether it's last year against the Astros where they're getting the big hits in that series and the Yankees are not, or this year against the Rays where they get the big hit in the big spot and both teams have three hits, but yet Aroldis Chapman comes in and gives up another home run. Like, how many times do you have to see the lineup fail in these big moments before an adjustment is made?
Well, you've got 100, I'm looking at it now, 100 wins 2 years ago, 103 wins last year. I mean, they're obviously doing some great things regular season-wise. You know, you can go back to roster construction if you want in terms of how many home run hitters they have as opposed to, which is why I thought the DJ LeMahieu move was so important, because they got a guy that's not up there swinging for the fences every time. I think players like him are invaluable in the postseason. You know, the one thing about the Yankees, and, you know, it's a joke, and one of the reporters even asked Boone about it. I think it was, I want to say it was after Game 1 of Cleveland, or maybe it was before the Cleveland series, or right around there, you know, saying, can you hit too many home runs? And it's been a narrative that we've, I say narrative again, it's been a topic we've talked about now, I feel like, for the last 5, 6, 7 years for this team, because they're dynamic in the regular season, and then the postseason comes, and all of a sudden, the balls aren't flying, and they struggle to score. This year, I can't blame it on that because they did hit home runs. Now, the last game against the Rays was a 2-1 game. They don't hit the ball, and Tampa out-homered them. That's fine. But, you know, you're talking about a tweak here, a tweak there. I don't see this team needing major changes. I just don't. I think they need better pitching, and maybe you add a player or you make a trade for another type of average-type hitter. But I don't look at this team needing to be blown up. I think they're close. I think they've been close, and it's not the manager. You know, how about the other thing? The injuries. Do we forget about the – they've won 203 games, not counting this weird, wacky season. But the last 2 years, the amount of injuries they have had have been absurd, and they won 203 games in 2 years. So they've done a lot of good things. They just haven't done it all.
Yeah, I mean, I think also you look back, so after that – Red Sox series, it was, all right, we got too many all or nothing guys. It's, you know, strikeout, home run. We got to go and get that average hitter. And they go and they bring in LeMahieu, who works out perfectly. Okay, so that was the problem that year. And then they lose again. So then the problem was in 2019, it was, man, you know, they just don't have that number one ace. They don't have that guy at the top of the rotation you can give the ball to, and then he can go out there and shove. And then they go and get that guy and they pluck him off a rival in the American League, and then the next year they still lose.
But he did the job, though. I mean, how about Giancarlo Stanton not looking at strike one, strike two, and strike three?
Yeah, well, I mean, also, he had a great postseason for the most part.
I'm not saying he didn't. I'm just saying there are other issues here. Like, Gerrit Cole could not have been better on 3 days rest than what he gave you.
I know.
So he did his job. You still got to score
runs.
I'm not saying he didn't.
I'm not saying LeMahieu hasn't been great. But I think that my point is that you solved those two problems the best that you could. You could not have solved those two issues by getting better players than DJ LeMahieu and Gerrit Cole, and you still came up short. And you actually did even worse this year than you did last year, but it was the ALDS against the Red Sox in 2018, which is just, it's crazy to think. Like, Brian Cashman did exactly what we asked him to do. Go and get this type of guy. Go and get that type of guy. And they did, and then here you are again. So, I mean, I know that the injuries are an issue. I think this time you look at rotation depth. If you could identify, even though I'm all over the offense, I really am, because I cannot figure out why in the biggest games they choke in the way that they do. And I honestly wouldn't throw out that much different of a lineup. I really would not.
No.
I mean, I don't know what the answer is. You want to tell me that there's too much right-handed bats, you know, too many guys that are the same in the lineup, and that is a matchup dream for another team because of that? You want to tell me that's a problem? Okay, I will buy it. But it's at this point, it's got to be, you got to be scared of somebody other than Gerrit Cole. Like, for example, you know, even though Blake Snell was terrible in that game one against the Yankees, the fact that they had three guys that you believed were threats to start that series, you know, with Cole, with Glasnow, and with Morton, and then they bring back Glasnow again. I mean, that to me was a major difference in this series with the Rays.
Yeah, very much so. They had a guy that was able to do it even for just a few innings. And the other thing, too, you know, I think, not that we ever took it for granted, but, you know, for the most part, when you put Mariano Rivera in a game, the Yankees won the game. Right. You didn't really worry about, he had his bumps for sure. But we take, in parts, we kind of take for granted what he was. You know, their bullpen, that's another thing you want to discuss. They've went out and they've done a lot of great things to get bullpen depth, whether it's been, you know, the Brittons, the Ottavinos, the Chapmans. I mean, it's like an all-star list of names coming out of the pen. And yet how many times did they falter in the postseason? You know, at the end of the day, all Brian Cashman can do is bring in talent. And I think he has done a remarkable job of bringing in talent. And it hasn't always been just because they've got the most money. That's not fair in this case. I think he's been creative in certain ways. He's made a really he's made a lot of really good moves by trade. I think he's done things differently. And I applaud him for that. At the end of the day, those all-stars that you sent out onto the field have to do what they're getting paid to do. And far too often now, they're not doing it.
Yeah, and Chapman's one of those guys that is just impossible to evaluate because he can look the nastiest in baseball when he's out there, and then he gives up all these big home runs. I mean, but he's still more good than bad. I mean, it's not
like
Edwin Diaz type stuff, although he bounced back a little bit this year. It's not like that, you know, of last year. So, you know, what do you do with him? I mean, do you just make sure that you have better compliments around him? Ottavino was a little bit of a disappointment. Chad Green, even though he was great in this series, at least in the biggest moments in Game 5. But, I mean, you know, Britton was good, too, actually, in this series. It's like, bullpens are so hard to build. These guys are so fickle year in and year out. I mean, that's something I really can't. I think Brian Cashman has addressed that and done a really good job with that. Just sometimes it just doesn't work out the way he wants it to. Now it's about rotational depth, and it's about making sure that you don't have the same exact guys in the lineup. You need a couple more. I mean, you're not going to kind of find another DJ LeMahieu, but you need a couple more guys that are going to battle up there, foul off pitches. You know, a guy like Brett Gardner, who's more talented. That's what they need to find. You know, a guy who's like a bulldog like that at the plate, but isn't going to go in a slump for 6 weeks, and then you look up and he's hitting 187. You know, you need someone, a consistent fouling pitches off, pain in the ass in that lineup, and preferably a lefty too as well. I think that would go a long way. All right, Boomer and Geo with Jerry in for Boomer this morning.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.